Welcome to Running Off the Rails. My name is Raymond O'Connor.
And I'm Ariel Rasko.
And today, we'll be discussing how players will always have meta knowledge walking into any game of Dungeons & Dragons. But how much meta knowledge is the sweet spot for your table?
We can look at the extremes to see that any amount of meta knowledge can be fun and playable. On the one hand, you can imagine playing through an adventure a second time. If you've played Storm King's Thunder, certainly you could go to a different table and play again and have a lot of fun. On the other side of the extreme, you get playing a game where you're not familiar at all with the literature or the setting. Like maybe you're playing Call of Cthulhu and you've never read any Lovecraft, you don't know anything about it, and you're really not going to know what's in store for you. Those both sound like really fun experiences to me, but are wildly different. And maybe finding the right thing for your table is somewhere in between.
Listening to those examples, I'm actually imagining some scenarios where those situations are distinctly not fun. I could imagine a situation where you're playing Call of Cthulhu and you've never read any Lovecraftian literature or been exposed to anything with tentacles or multiple eyeballs, and there's a monster that you encounter and you go diving in to go slay that thing, because maybe you just watched Lord of the Rings, where Legolas is taking down hundreds upon hundreds of goblins all at once, and then the DM, they're experienced at running Call of Cthulhu, and they know that monsters are super deadly, and anyone who plays Call of Cthulhu should know not to attack the monster. Before you know it, your character's dead, and people aren't having a good time at the table. And then on the other side of that polar extreme, where the players have so much meta knowledge that they know everything about the setting, I could imagine an experience where you pose a riddle to the players. And now that player is in a really weird situation where they can't even really interact with the riddle because they know the answer. And even if they do something appropriate with roleplay, it will kind of lessen the experience for the other players because they'll be reading into that other player's actions knowing that they know the answer to the riddle. So they kind of just need to remove themselves from play for however long it takes for the other players to solve the riddle. You can have fun at the extremes, knowing everything about a setting, having complete meta knowledge as a player, and having no meta knowledge as a player. But the sweet spot, the place where fun D&D is had most easily, is probably somewhere in the middle.
The riddle is a really great example. I think it's very classic, and we want to have these kinds of figuring things out with some surprise, some investigation, some critical thinking. You know, you don't want to take that away from the table. But then imagine a riddle where you never figured out the answer because it's too inscrutable. Is that really a fun thing for your table too, where everybody sits around for 45 minutes, an hour and a half, and you never give them a hint? I think any DM in that situation would give the players a hint, or some NPC coming in with some kind of knowledge. It's not fun to have these completely inscrutable moments, but you still want surprise. You don't want them to know the answer to the riddle. And so I think of vampires and werewolves as a really great example of how we naturally use meta knowledge in our day-to-day games without thinking about it so much. If you're playing in a game and somebody is on the floor bleeding out in Curse of Strahd, for example, when you go examine the body, your player might notice or ask the DM, are there any bite marks on the neck? And that's probably something you're not going to ask in, you know, Storm King's Thunder, for instance. But it's a really fun moment where you get to set the stage and your characters get to experience this bite mark. And then later on, if you heal this person, you know in your head that if they get bitten a couple more times, maybe they turn into a vampire, and that's very scary. Or if your character gets bitten, you as a player know, I need to be careful, I might turn into a vampire. Same thing with lycanthropy. It's a very dangerous curse. It can kill your players, but if you know that turning into a werewolf or turning into a lycan is a possibility and dangerous, you can engage with that danger as a player at the table. Having the meta knowledge that you can turn into a lycan, that it's a dangerous process, but it's theoretically possible, is what you need to run a story with lycanthropy. If you have no knowledge about it at all, it can be a really unfun experience to just get bit and die.
Yeah, imagine a player's disappointment when they get scratched by a werewolf, bitten by a werewolf, and that encounter happened a long time ago. The DM expects their players to have that meta knowledge. They know that this is something that they should go and get checked out. And then all of a sudden your character dies. That's not a fun experience. As a DM, you either need to make sure that your players have that meta knowledge or that you foreshadow it in game and deliver that meta knowledge to the players.
This is an interesting kind of split that we're working with here. You can foreshadow things in game, and that's a lot of fun. And you can also use meta knowledge as part of that fun. For instance, with cursed magic items, I think it's really important to foreshadow that something is cursed. But the way that you foreshadow something is usually using meta knowledge. So you kind of get this mix and match where if you're going to show somebody a magic item and it was locked away deep down and it was in a dark place, you're foreshadowing, and that can be really cool. But if you look at the magic item and you show that it is thorny, indicating a little bit of meta knowledge that, like, oh, thorns are probably bad. Why does your character believe that? Well, I don't know.
Maybe they've seen Sleeping Beauty.
Yeah, exactly. It's some meta knowledge that's available to them. And so you are invoking, like, imagery that is really meta contextual rather than specifically in-game contextual. And your players now know, oh, to be careful. And if they have extra meta knowledge on top of that, that cursed items can be used, that's even more fun. Sometimes players never touch a cursed item ever in the world because they're really, really scared. But in a lot of D&D, you actually can use a cursed item. You just need to be careful, or you need to have magical protections, or you can remove the curse at some point later on. So if you want your players to use cursed items, having the meta knowledge that it's okay, your character probably won't die if it's a normal cursed item, one that you might find in the DMG, then that meta knowledge that they can interact with this cursed item is way more fun than if the players believed that they could never interact with any cursed item at all.
And this kind of brings up the confusion, I think, that's associated with this topic. I mean, I see posts about players acting on meta knowledge on the internet, and people feel very strongly that players should never act on meta knowledge. And I think that's kind of unrealistic. I think that we all have meta knowledge, and the more fantasy we've experienced in the genre that we're playing in, the more meta knowledge we're bringing into the game. And that the DM actually expects us to act on that meta knowledge often. So I think the example of the bite marks in Curse of Strahd is a great example. It can be very unfun for everybody at the table, including the DM, if your players don't interact with the things that are appropriate for them to interact with based on the setting. It drives the plot forward and makes the game better if the players can be co-authors with the DM and know what the dramatically appropriate things for their players to do are, and to do that judiciously. I think that this is very ambiguous and it's hard to nail down, but one of the things that helps me to kind of like math this out and turn this into a science is to go back to some of the principles that we've talked about previously in the show. That the story that the players are experiencing can be broken down into setting, which is kind of your world, the plot, which is the events that are happening at the table, and the characters, which is the character development that all of the different characters in the story are experiencing. So when we think about the world, typically the DM is definitely acting as an author of the world. They know the world, they've internalized it, and they are maybe changing things about the world or just kind of like representing the world to their players as they play Dungeons and Dragons. Well, what are the players when we look at the world? The more meta knowledge that a player has about the world, the more they are able to act as a co-author of the story. They're able to do things that are dramatically appropriate. If we think about the players, if they're fighting a troll, that player knows that a good thing for the story might be to attack that troll with a mundane weapon. and to set the DM up so that they can say, oh, this weapon didn't deal as much damage as you thought it would. And then they know when the battle is starting to look really bad for the table that they can bust out some fire, and the fire is going to stop the troll from regenerating. And that is a dramatically appropriate way for that combat to proceed.
I think some great examples of this are also hydras and mimics. If you are interacting with these creatures that have surprises in them, if one or two players at the table know about these surprises, they can help navigate the waters for the other players, and they can push the story and be a co-conspirator with the DM towards finding out these details. Oh, hydras also need fire damage. Well, if nobody in the party knew that, then their players aren't going to be asking questions about fire and hydras, and maybe they go into the battle too unprepared and they lose, they get TPK'd. If you have an accomplice, a co-conspirator in the world building, you are really at an advantage as the DM. And we've talked about this with player death and how it can give agency back to the players to work with them. The same thing can be true of plot devices. Being an accomplice, being a co-conspirator with the DM for plot devices can also push your party onto the right track rather than wandering around aimlessly. I think as a player, one of the things that I have found in my worst games of Dungeons & Dragons is we were at a session where we didn't know what to do the whole time. It's very frustrating, and having some foreshadowing really helps as a DM, but you can go one step further if the foreshadowing doesn't get picked up on by your players. You don't have to have a player who exactly knows your plot. I think that, you know, is one way to do it, and, you know, what we've been talking about with the Hydra and the Troll is, you know, that style. But I like to also introduce maybe a cutscene. And this is something that I learned from Curse of Strahd, where in the very beginning of the module, they tell you, the DM, to read aloud a paragraph about Strahd. That Strahd is an evil vampire, and that he's looking out onto his domain, and he knows the adventurers have arrived. This gives everybody at the table the same meta knowledge and allows you to engage and interact with the world where you know you're going to be fighting this vampire lord eventually. It can really set the players on the right track. And it's a cool moment. So we can use either the direct knowledge that players at the table have, or we can show everybody at the table that knowledge via some kind of cutscene or some kind of dramatic moment where we introduce some knowledge to the players that they didn't have before. And this is something that shows up all the time in fiction.
I think that's a really great example of kind of letting your players in on being co-authors of the story by giving them the idea of what things in the world would be dramatically appropriate to do. Strahd is a vampire. Now, all of a sudden, the players know that some dramatically appropriate things to do in the story are to interact with the things that they're finding as if there's a vampire on the loose. That's going to drive them to interact with the world in productive and interesting ways. On the completely other end of that spectrum, your players are just audience members. They have no ability to act on the world in ways that are dramatically appropriate. If they do so, it is because they're kind of getting lucky and maybe they have good story sense. The scenario that Ariel kind of laid out where the players are interacting with a riddle that kind of depends on them having some meta knowledge and they just can't figure it out. And now as a DM, you're kind of in a situation where, yeah, you can give them hints, but the players know you're giving them hints. And that's kind of a bummer. To use the example of the troll fight, maybe the party is just losing and everybody at the table just doesn't know what to do. And then you have this NPC get lucky and hit the troll with a torch. And you can see that the regeneration stops working. And now the characters know, okay, we need to use fire. But everybody at the table kind of knows. You just gave them that answer. It can be a little bit of a better feeling if one player at the table knows when the right time is to introduce that element to the story.
And I think that's what Ray and I are talking a lot about when we're talking about meta knowledge. You can treat your players at the table as audience members for just a moment. And when you give them a cutscene, when you give them meta knowledge, you're treating them like they are there to learn something about your game and watch it and then interact with it afterwards. audience members need more knowledge to make the story more fun in a lot of traditional literature and movies. We call this dramatic irony, and it's when you give the audience knowledge and setup that the protagonist doesn't have.
I think Dune the book is a great example of this. We get insights into what all of the factions are planning and what they're going to do to try and achieve their goals. And then we get to see all of those plans come to fruition and clash against each other. This is an amazing example of a story that I think really benefits from dramatic irony. However, this gets a little bit weird in Dungeons & Dragons when your players, who are audience members in some respects, and you want to give them this dramatic irony or this access to dramatic irony, it gets a little bit weird when all of a sudden they can act on information that their characters don't have. And this, I think, is where meta-knowledge starts to get a bad rap. I think that if you're a table and you want to play this style of Dungeons & Dragons, where your players are really participating more as co-authors of the story, your players need to be in the mindset of not using meta-knowledge or using it to further the story in a great way. I think a really good example of this is the player can tell that a magic item is cursed, but they decide to attune to it anyway because they know it will benefit the story. But the flip side of this is that the DM needs to be in the mindset that they're not going to punish their players for role-playing well and not acting on meta-knowledge. You can't, as a DM, then say, listen, I made it obvious that this item is cursed, and you attuned to it anyway, and now this cursed item is going to kill you. So it really does kind of require a change in mindset, where the players aren't trying to be as effective at Dungeons & Dragons as possible. Instead, they're optimizing for the best story that could unfold at the table.
I think this happens naturally all the time, where you introduce something to your players and they run with it because they trust you as a DM. That's meta knowledge. They know you don't want to just wipe away their characters by introducing something cool. That's meta knowledge. And they work with you and move forward and interact with the plot that you've put in front of them. They don't run away from a big plot hook because they're so scared. They trust you. And that's part of the process of telling a story together. But I do think there are some ways where you can use this meta-knowledge to tell a story in less dangerous ways. I really like this example of Dune you gave, because the types of meta-knowledge that are offered in Dune are often very long-term plans. If you know that the Harkonnens are planning something, you're given a cutscene many times in the movie and in the books that they're planning some revenge, they're working with the Galactic Empire to pull one over on the Atreides. That's knowledge that Paul can't really act on. What would Paul even do with that knowledge? He even does try to warn his parents that this is very dangerous and he doesn't know why they're doing this multiple times. Paul is actually given this warning in the books a little bit more explicitly than he is in the movie by the Bene Gesserit matron mother. So there's really nothing that Paul can do with this knowledge. It just gets him more invested in the plot. Paul himself is more invested in the danger of his family and the danger of this world because he's given a warning beforehand. And you as an audience are more invested in the danger of this world because you're shown that the Harkonnens are planning something very evil. So this kind of meta-knowledge is really powerful. I'll show my players a very long-term plan for the villains. I'll show them a cutscene with Strahd doing something long-term, far away. This gets them hooked for many sessions down the line. They know there's a plot that they have to resolve. They know there's a plan that they have to try to foil. But they're too far away right now to do that. They're too low level, or it's too far in the future. So for the moment, they're just working in their little town, fixing the little problems that are before them. But in the back of their heads, they know that they need to get stronger quickly, that they know they need to engage with the world, or many people are going to die. I think these long-term plans don't have the same problem as the cursed item, where the meta-knowledge is right in front of you and it influences your immediate decisions.
You're also doing something that we see happen in books a lot, which is that you're making a promise to the players. You're making a promise that one day you will be powerful enough to interact with this content in a meaningful way. A lot of fantasy novels open up with competent characters using magic in very impressive ways. What the author is doing is they're making a promise that one day the main character will be able to do these things or interact with these powers in meaningful ways. So making a promise to your players that one day they'll be able to interact with this long-term vision or this long-term plan, not only is a promise about how far they're going to travel and explore, but also how powerful they will become. I actually experienced this going very poorly for myself about 2 weeks ago, where I tried to introduce my homebrew setting to Ariel and some other players. I changed a lot about my homebrew setting, and I didn't really let the players in on a lot of the changes that I made to the world, because I wanted them to experience these changes as audience members. But instead, it backfired. They didn't have enough meta knowledge to act with confidence in the world. They were afraid to interact with these things because they knew the world was very dangerous, but they didn't know in what ways. So they were asking a lot of totally reasonable questions. And the result was that most of the session was me just delivering exposition in lore dumps, just so that the players could do things that their characters probably would have had more confidence or an ability to do. And I think that really hammered in the benefit of using an established setting. Because when you use an established setting, you take advantage of the fact that your players probably already are living in that sweet spot of meta knowledge. A great example is people who watch Critical Role probably feel very empowered to play in the world of Exandria. I introduced a new setting and didn't give my players enough meta knowledge so that they could act effectively or do things that were dramatically appropriate in this world. And I learned a lot from that experience because it was a negative experience.
You can always learn from failures. Sometimes you can learn a lot more than from successes, for sure. I think this is a really great point, that setting is a huge part of meta knowledge that allows players to interact and work well. If you've seen Lord of the Rings, you tend to play D&D well because you just transfer a lot of the meta knowledge from one setting to your own world. And it makes things pretty seamless and allows everybody to have fun at the table together without asking too many questions and doing much talking. And sometimes that's a detriment. Sometimes D&D as a system doesn't need to be very Lord of the Ringsy. That could be a negative experience for some people, but it's super helpful to just get things started. And I really, really like this idea of promises that you're talking about. When we introduce a setting to our players, it's often a promise. Hey, we're going to play a Western. That's a promise. It's not a description of setting. It's a promise that we're going to play in a world where you're an outlaw and you have the option to, you know, fight for your survival and, you know, tussle with, you know, other groups and maybe wrangle monsters, do all these classic Western tropes. That's a promise that you're fulfilling to your players. If we think about other meta knowledge as promises, I think you get a really good storytelling experience. You're constantly telling players, I promise you, you're going to interact with the big bad. What you do is you give them a cutscene, you show them what's in store. That's a promise. It's a storytelling hook. It's not giving them meta knowledge that's going to ruin their gameplay. It's not making it harder for the players to play their characters because they have to pretend they don't know something like the answer to a riddle. It's just telling them, this is what you're in for. This is a promise. And your player characters don't know this, but you do. And that's why you're at the table. It's why you're going to show up next week. It's why you're going to ask questions about the setting. It's why you're going to have fun playing D&D in this world. It's because you know that there are promises laid in store for you that I'm going to deliver on, and they're exciting and bold and adventurous.
Absolutely. Hit it out of the park, Ariel.
Just oopin' what you allied. I don't know how to say this.
And it's ruined. Well, you summed it up perfectly. So I think that's where we're going to end this episode. It does feel like this still is a little bit ambiguous. So if there's anybody out here who wants this laid out a little bit more mathematically, or kind of wants a chart or like a flow chart or an infograph, definitely reach out to us on Instagram or Facebook or Twitter, and we'd love to produce some of those materials for you. But until next time, I'm Raymond O'Connor.
And I'm Ariel Rasko.
And thanks for listening to Running Off the Rails. If you enjoyed Running Off the Rails, please like, follow, and review our show on your platform of choice. Please follow our Instagram, Running Off the Rails, for notifications whenever we release a blog post, a new episode, or new content on the DMs Guild. If you prefer a specific type of content, please send us a message on Instagram. The jam you are listening to is Hoist by Andy G. Cohen, and you can find Hoist and more of Cohen's music on the Free Music Archive. You can find links to all of our content at runningofftherails.com or on our Facebook page, Running Off the Rails.